Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whoop, whoop. Super pretty girl alert. Super pretty girl.
Joining the impeachment party. Happy, happy hour. It's Charisma Carpenter from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Angel. Oh, my God.
Resistor.
What's that?
Resistor.
And yeah, resistor.
Resistor.
And a resistor sister.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. First of all, you're beloveds with all our beloveds. Mm-hmm. That's
yes.
How we found. But yes, your Twitter is so awesome and political.
Oh,
but
thanks.
John, you were on John Fugelsang with Dana Goldberg and Jody Hamilton, who are all our regulars.
Yeah.
Well,
and family.
Keeping you for like half the show. Like, you were only supposed to be on for, like, one segment, I think. And
well,
then
he gave me the option to stay, and I was too intimidated, honestly. Like, a panel of comedians, no thanks. I mean, yeah. I didn't feel like I had much to bring to the table there.
Most you were fantastic.
Of my my humor is, you know, pre-scripted.
Yeah.
So I'm amazing at, you know, regurgitating what's already been written. But, it was a joy. Yeah. They were warm. They were welcoming and bright and smart. And it went well. It was fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, happy impeachment.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to ask right away because I was like, Charisma? So you were named after a perfume.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And not like Dior or something fabulous. It was Avon. But I guess that was...
Ding dong.
That was sort of... It speaks to the times.
Yeah,
I
wish my mom had named me Obsession because that's pretty much... I'm very obsessive, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
OCD.
I feel you.
All right. Well, I just had to get that out of the way because I was what a fantastic name.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I love that you played a teenager, but you, a cheerleader, but you were not just a regular cheerleader in high school. You were a San Diego Chargers cheerleader.
I was for a minute. Yeah, I was. It's interesting because I guess you could say I rode that horse to the top. I started cheerleading as like, you know, a sixth grader.
Right.
And then just kept cheering all the way.
Right.
To the top. I'm no half-stepper, I tell you. It's all or nothing.
Except you played a mean cheerleader, and I'm told that you are an exceptionally nice former cheerleader. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I hope so. Fair.
We always say that all the actresses and actors we've had in, the people that play assholes are always the nicest people in person.
Well,
it's weird.
I think that's sweet. But I think that kind of reminds me of a conversation I have with the casting director for Malibu Shores, who the casting director for that show at the time was the Aaron Spelling casting director who did Melrose Place and used Heather Locklear as an example at the time of being the baddest bitch ever, but the nicest human being ever.
Right.
So she often said, you know, you have to go home and find the bitch within, just like Heather. And I was like, okay, I'll do my best.
Your inner bitch.
Find my inner bitch. And she's never left. She's occupied my body now forever.
What does that consist of? You just look in the mirror and go, fuck you. No, fuck you, you cunt. No.
I use that word in grave you know, restraint.
Yes.
I save that for the very special, special times.
Well, like Travis said nicely, as a suggested a TV show for Kellyanne Conway, which would be called...
See You Next Tuesday with Kellyanne Conway.
Right. Right. Because it's a nice way of...
Super cunty.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, I always find that just a weird quirk in Hollywood, that it just...
That nice people are often... Yeah. And that really intelligent people play dimwits.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, it's always like that. Or the saddest people play funny people. Or, you know,
it's almost like it's acting.
Hey, now. The more you know.
Okay, now, you're gorgeous and straight, but Chris makes a point about all my exes look like.
Aaron Spelling people.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's
all your exes. They have to look like they could be in an Aaron Spelling production. Yeah. Which is, they're all, but they've all been really smart like you. So
that's
amazing. As shallow as he makes me.
What about your current?
I have nothing. Help me.
You have,
help me.
I can't.
Isn't there a gay you that you know? Travis was like, she did a Playboy. So I'm like, oh, hey now, let me do a little more research on this happy
hour. I did not give you that.
Then
I didn't even look at that.
Mm. Well, now.
Well, there, you can see the cover. The cover's harmless.
Yeah.
It's a pin-up-y vibe.
I love what you talked about, though, that you had a kid not that long ago, right? Before when you did the shoot.
Right.
And first you were nervous, and then you said your husband at the time was like, honey, put your robe on. They're not shooting now. Like, you were just like, woo!
I did. I got comfortable. More comfortable than he wanted.
By the way, feel free here.
Oh, like Stephanie, no.
We encourage people to be comfortable on camera. Maybe she is more comfortable
Raining
that
you
way,
in.
Travis.
Yes.
I mean, I was at the moment, not in general all the time. I don't walk around like that. In fact, I grew up dancing, and dancers are notoriously, like, free, you know? And you have to get dressed backstage often. You can't really, you know,
can't be shy.
Can't be weird about it. Like, oh, my body. I can't see it. Ooh, I'm scared. You can't, that doesn't roll, you know? You just got to get on with it. Put the tutu on, let's go. And
I mean, a ballet guy's going to carry you around by the crotch. It's not exactly, you know.
I don't know what the word is, but I'm right there with you. I know exactly where you're at. It's not the time to be, embarrassed.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I was that person.
Yeah.
Oh, my body.
Is this a new character?
It sounds I don't know.
Sounds like it's Pat from Saturday Night Live.
Who I love, by the way.
She's done the podcast.
Julia
done the podcast.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, you've had some impressive guests, I must say. I feel so honored to be in this company.
We feel so honored to have you. Jane Fonda just sat in that chair. Oh. Lily Tomlin.
Yes, Lily Tomlin.
Martin Sheen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Rob Reiner. Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Ari, wait, you were born in Vegas, baby. Vegas. Yeah. And you've said that you can take the girl out of Vegas, but you can't
take the Vegas out of the girl.
Vegas, baby. Vegas!
Because you were a pageant girl, too. Like
I was.
A little pageant girl. Was that you or your mom? Was she a pageant mom?
I mean, in the best possible sense.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, she wasn't. Pushing, like you have to and you have to win. And,
you wanted to do it. And she helped along?
I think so. Okay. I mean, I think it was just what I did. It wasn't necessarily like it wasn't on the table. Like, do you want to do this? It was just what I did. I danced an insane amount of hours a week all my life, and it was a good outlet for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I did the Junior Miss Pageant just so I could do a comedy sketch. I was fourth runner-up in Miss Congeniality.
That's phenomenal.
Okay, well,
I feel like we should get you cast on Insatiable now.
Say again?
I think we should get you cast on the Netflix show Insatiable because Alyssa Milano, big resistor. Chris Gorm, big resistor.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Been on the show.
And it's a pageant show.
Well, I mean, I could judge. I would be a good judge, right? Oh, my God, I'm having a thing.
Uh-oh. Are you okay?
Hold on one second. I got to take my clothes off.
Oh! Hit my porn music. Oh, by all means. See, she's more comfortable. Listen, Sean, the one straight guy here, and me, the one gay girl.
I need a fan.
We'll turn the air on. The air is on.
Oh, bless you.
Wow. You are hot. I mean, you look hot. I mean, you know, you look like you've... Right.
Sweet.
Okay.
You're sweet.
Well, now I've made shit awkward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. Thanks,
Dan. All right.
Let's talk about Trump.
All right. So your son is 16 now.
He is.
Yeah.
He's 16. Oh, God bless you.
Let
me use this.
That's Turd Egerton.
That's adorable.
Yes. Fan yourself with our Rocket Man fan, will you?
Let me.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk. I don't even know where to start. So your son is 16 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we ask everybody this because none of us spawned. But just having a kid in the age of Trump and all this... daily bullying and meanness and horribleness.
It's complex, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's tricky. And that's kind of, you know, you touched on something that made me think about my Twitter feed. And I really try to stay away from, even though it's very hard to, sometimes I do participate in it, the name-call-y stuff. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's helpful to just attack somebody, you know, because you don't like them and just call them a cretin, essentially. Like, I don't think that's assisting anybody or anything. And it starts to become like an echo chamber, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're just preaching the same thing and saying the same thing over
to
and over
complete
and over
strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
generally, those strangers agree with you or align with you, right?
Yeah.
So
Fine.
We all kind of know this.
Right.
It's sort of implied. So there's no need to, like, expend our energy saying the obvious.
Right.
But it's hard to resist at times. Yeah. It really is very difficult.
It would be helpful if they did not have so many cretins in their party.
Oh, I
see what I did now.
See what I did. So
you seem much more comfortable in your t-shirt. I know I'm much more comfortable with you in that skin.
Stephanie!
Go ahead.
Back to the kid. Yeah. So when it comes to bullying and that kind of thing, it's always been an issue. And I think he's faced it himself. Yeah. And I'm sure he's participated in it. But I try to stay classy about it.
Yeah.
I try.
Yeah. Well, you called the president one name. You said he's the worst liar ever. He lies bigly. Because how can you say any other thing than that he is a liar? I mean, that's
a liar.
It took the news media how long after five? How many lies?
Is that a name? Is that a name call? But it's a fact.
No, it's a fact. That's what I'm saying. What are we, past 10,000? 12,000 documented lies?
It was like 13,000 a while back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but that's the media for however long. Oh, it's rude. We can't call him a liar. And it's just like, okay, well, isn't that one of the first things you teach your kids? Don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, respect bodies of other people.
Right.
Safe space.
Oops.
Like, give
people. I have violated every rule of yours, and I apologize to you.
Way to go, Steph.
Wow.
Well done.
All right. Listen, we're a fan of all the same women. You tweeted about Fiona Hill, or what superheroes are made of and what little girls can aspire to. You tweeted Professor Carlin, who
today,
her passion is visceral, how anyone on the judiciary cannot listen to her educated arguments and not favor impeachment. I thought the same thing. She was clearly so passionate about the Constitution,
she's a nerd,
about the law.
She's excited about what she does. Somebody was giving me grief on Twitter about saying that her passion is exactly what you don't want. She's in a position of power. It's almost as though she's a judge. It's like, but she's not a judge.
No.
She's an academic. She's passionate about what she does.
Right.
She believes in the law. She believes in the Constitution, which is the law of the land. Like, it's the most exciting thing to her.
I wish more people were that excited about the Constitution.
And enforcing it.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, as one of the, I don't know if it was the other professor, but said, if this isn't impeachable, then nothing is.
Well,
I mean,
what is the point of even having impeachment hearings or having that in the law if we're not going to exercise it when there is evidence?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where people start to wane in the argument of, like, we're taking, when I was listening, because I try to think like other people think that don't agree with me, in that, well, what do they hear? What do they hear when they listen to these people? And what I heard these three academics, except for the one, all saying was they were taking it into account and assuming that it was, in fact, treason. It was bribery, and it was an abuse of power, and it was obstruction of justice and obstruction of Congress.
Yep.
So those things were said as if it was fixed and true.
Yeah.
But what the other side argues is that that's not. It's presumed.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from, but then I go back to Mulvaney literally used those words at a press conference. Get over it. It is quid pro quo. And I don't know how that gets muddled. Yeah. Like, how do you ignore that?
No, because we were not, because they have no case.
Why are you even, like, it's already laid out. It's just that one admission.
Right. No, I mean, they have no case, which is why I was saying I couldn't believe that Collins, a Republican, literally complained about how cold the room was and he hates his chair. I'm like, really? Because you got nothing except just distractions. I mean,
it's exaggerating. Yeah,
they took all those roll call votes just to make it look like a circus.
Yeah.
Because that's all they have.
Yeah. Hold that thought, Charisma. You know, I'm working with really, really beautiful actresses during happy hour, you know, that makes me have to stop and put on some Plexaderm. Because I know Charisma's really nice, but I feel like she's going to turn into her mean girl cheerleader and tell me what the bags under my eyes look like and the wrinkles.
Are you packing to go somewhere?
God, are you going to check those bags or what?
No.
Okay.
Charisma would not do that.
No, she wouldn't.
No.
And she wouldn't because you use?
Plexaderm.
That's right.
Ding. It is. It's a clinically studied serum. It visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in minutes. I mean, I'm telling you, it is like crazy.
It's crazy.
How fast, right?
It's going to be done by the time this commercial's over.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. I will be Ingenue Age again. As soon as this, I'm telling you, you look just like you, but just 10 years younger, right?
Yeah.
And get Plexiderm's holiday promotion. This is the time to try it. See what everybody, all the sexy liberals on our whole network are raving about it. Go to tryplexiderm.com. Use the code SEXYLIBERAL for 50% off, plus an additional $10 off. OMG. That's right, 50% off, plus an extra 10 bucks off. Also available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code SEXYLIBERAL. Plexiderm, backed by a 30-day guarantee. What do you got to lose? Nothing. Visit triplexiderm.com today. Use the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That is triplexiderm.com. Guess who doesn't need Plexiderm? Charisma. You also talked about Trump. Oh, God, it's just he's so endlessly humiliating on the world stage, but he's over there, you know, calling, you know, Adam Schiff all these eighth grade nicknames. And right. As you said, this reminds me of the expression, the guilty accused. He is psychology 101 for projection. Like, everything he calls Adam Schiff is what he is.
Yeah, just if I were just right now, I hearken back to a time when he was calling Rosie O'Donnell all these awful names and describing her. And it's like, to me, like, to go to the physical, you know, about somebody is just about as base as you can go. It's about as sixth grade middle school as you can get. And this is a grown man holding the highest office of this land.
Yeah.
And it's just despicable to me that we've got this person representing us as a nation with zero class and dignity.
And we were saying story about, so we saw the videotape of them all, like, clearly laughing, talking about him and laughing. And so, like a screamy little fucking man baby, he leaves.
He leaves.
And then I'm going to fly home now.
Two-faced.
Yeah, he called Justin Trudeau two-faced. So, speaking of, like, you played a mean high school girl, that's what he's like. He's like a mean high school girl.
The title role of Mean Girls.
I wrote a burn book about Adam Schiff and Sharpie, and here's what I want. I mean, it's just like, oh my God.
Slam book. Remember
those?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. So now, the other thing your characters have in common is you're both the psychic, right? On both of the shows? Mm.
Well, Buffy, she was on Buffy. It was the same character, and she got her powers on Angel.
Oh, and then that's how you got empathy. Right. And started to. OK. Do you have because I'm totally into psychics. Do you have that power in real life?
Oh, I wish.
Oh,
I would love to predict that we will have an impeachment. He will go to jail and he'll be, you know, incarcerated and won't even run for 2020.
Oh, I was going to ask if you thought I was going to die alone and beaten by my dogs. All right. It's not important.
Well,
that's just about
that's a given.
I don't know about dying alone, but if you're left here for 5 to 7 days, your dog will eat your face.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. For that happy thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. They start with the limbs first. It's the cats go for the face.
Yes.
Okay.
The cats lick your face to try and revive you.
We just have.
And then they keep licking, and then they eventually draw blood and figure out that you're tasty.
Oh, you're edible.
They just found a headless person in Griffith Park.
What?
But they think it was natural causes, and then the coyotes ate his head. Mm-hmm. So that could happen to me too. I could actually not be eaten by my dogs, but by stray coyotes.
Yeah,
you do hike a lot.
Yeah, I do hike a lot, so it could happen there.
Do you take your Pyrenees with you?
Right. Well, no.
Okay, then you're
sometimes
too old to. Yeah,
we'll take the young one.
Okay, I just little
the walks. Young one walked away.
Okay. All right. I just love that no one
solutions.
Has spelled.
We're all about solutions
That's
today.
Right.
Okay, thank you. You're a liberal helper. All right.
You tweeted hashtag helping.
Yeah. Hashtag helping. I went on my rant about Kamala Harris this morning because I'm pissed and I'm sad. But you also tweeted about Elizabeth Warren. You said she does seem to really care what she's saying, not just pandering for votes. And I think so, too. I think she's so likable.
She does
and so,
have that genuine... you know, I don't want to say this in a way that would sound bad, but she just has that safe grandma vibe.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, that's extremely intelligent and has a plan for everything and passionate and empathetic.
And things will be okay.
Yeah, that is a very... I need that right now.
After the 3 years we've had?
I need that so much.
Yeah. I need help on the way.
She just feels safe to me. Mm-hmm. And then... You know, and that's an emotional response. But
sure.
She can back that up with all of her policy. And, you know, I've seen her for years on Bill Maher, who, you know, is fine. I don't love Bill Maher exactly.
Yeah.
But he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy.
Very smart.
And he's always had her on. And I used to watch back in the day. So I love her. I do love her. And the Kamala Harris, tell me why you're upset that she's not in it. And is it because...
Her campaign made mistakes. Everyone's does. It's not, you know, I'm not... But I think my whole thing was just that A, Russia is in our elections now because they are not doing anything to stop it. Mm-hmm. So I was saying, to start with, I think Russia and reportedly Trump thought she was the biggest threat. And so she was the number one target of Russian bots. And Tulsi Gabbard, that was a complete, like, somebody gave her the whole opposition playbook to drop on Kamala. And I think it was just so unfair. But I'm just saying, I think all of that has hurt her. And I think the media is doing some of the same shit to her that they did to Hillary. I think there's just a different standard. So I do think we're seeing some sexism again.
Even last week we talked about...
We're hearing the same likability thing. And, Elizabeth Warren is in the Kamala, they aren't likable. I'm like, really? You mean has vagina? Is that what you mean?
No, they only say, I was going to say last week when we were talking about with Elizabeth Warren, they were saying, is she likable? They only say, is she likable about female candidates?
Right.
They don't say that about
male
candidates.
Right. Well, you know why? I think that might be because the overall, long-standing societal definitions of a woman, if you're smart, you're a ball breaker. If you're like this, you're that. And then how can you be both smart and intelligent and well-spoken and be likable? It's like a one or the other thing, and it doesn't have to be. And this is what's so important about these times, and having presidential candidates.
Dealt with it as an actress, which it's in the title that you're acting. You said people might think I'm this awful person, but I'm not. I'm a nice girl. Like, you have to even say, I'm just playing a character.
I did. And often fans in the early years before Angel and before that character got three-dimensional and became more empathetic and approachable, I wasn't approached.
Right.
People did not approach me. They were like, oh my gosh, when the show was at the height of its height, out there.
Sure.
And no, people weren't so quick to saddle up and say, what's up? Let's have a beer. No, thanks.
Courtney was the one you wanted to sit down and have a catty conversation with.
I mean,
well, I watched with a bunch of gay boys. We were all like, all about Cordelia.
I love it.
So you have it in common with the San Diego homeboy. So you,
I was still used to San Diego.
You did?
I was still used to San Diego, and I lived down there until 2006 in Hillcrest. Oh,
so you moved from Vegas to San Diego when you were...
I did. When I was 13, I moved to Mexico and then commuted stateside to Chula Vista and Bonita High schools.
I know those areas.
Yeah.
I know that area well.
I know
you. We have one other. I was also an aerobics instructor.
Oh, you were?
Yes. Isn't that like acting? That's mostly lying, isn't it? With last 10, I am lying. 10 again.
Those sucked. Do it again.
This always cracks me up too. Just looking at various quotes of yours, you said, "I don't really see myself as being a sex symbol at all." Every sex symbol say that? Do you think it's just you don't have the same perception of yourself?
Well, because I know what goes on between my ears. I just know. It's just not. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not on your mind.
We have one other horrifying thing in common. I also owned hot satin pants.
Were you in sixth grade?
Yes, I was in high school, and I had pink hot satin hot pants with yellow pockets.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and you said you were like Satan at your all-Christian school, and I was in Catholic school.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay, yeah. So you grew up in that strict... Did you have corporal punishment at your school?
Oh, yes. We had
nuns?
A big board of education that they would hit you with. That was like a sadistic nun joke. It said board of education on it.
Yeah.
And they would hit you with it.
So funny.
Yeah.
I went to public school. We were talking, I was just over Thanksgiving, I went to some with my neighbors. Our principal at a public school had the board in his office.
Wow.
And I don't know if anyone ever actually got hit with it, but it was there and everyone was like, Mr. Campbell has the board in his office. He's ready to.
But you grew up in Devin Nunes's district. So
he was not the congressman at the time.
Oh, Lord.
But that kind of
and
mentality.
Mom did not vote for him.
Wait, I think that's you had a nun. What does she have? Two different kinds of weapons.
Oh, yeah. There was the paddle without the holes, and there was a paddle with the holes.
Right.
So you get
extra aerodynamic.
Exactly.
A little whippersnapper up in there.
That's right.
Get it, like, wind it up and whoop-poo.
Yep.
Yeah, that's super fun.
Sister Luke.
Oh. Sister Luke.
Yeah, that was...
Mine was Sister Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
I had Principal Graves paddled me with the super aerodynamic paddle.
Yeah.
The one with the hole.
Can you believe that was ever okay?
You know,
do you mind
I
if
can't.
We hit your children? No, we do not mind. Go
we
ahead.
We don't. Go ahead. It speaks to the times, right?
Yes.
And ages.
That's right.
I said to myself when I had my son, and my ex-husband at the time, we both agreed, because we both had sort of like grew up in that environment at school, and we both went to parochial school. And then in our homes... we had some, you know, serious violence. So we decided we would never do that with our son. And right. now that he's 16, I'm rethinking that. I kid. But
you're like, is nunchucks violence? Is that,
is that illegal?
You would think that's what they would have in Catholic school. Right. Nunchucks.
Nunchucks.
Yeah.
Karate Kid.
Yeah. Well, I heard you say something on your podcast. Your son has a job.
He does.
Which wow. I think, I every time I think of a celebrity with a kid, I think, oh, that kid doesn't have to work.
Oh, child labor in one of Ivanka's like shoe factories or something?
I had a job at 16.
What? I had a job at 16.
He wanted it. He sought it out. He came to us or his dad and said, I want to get a job. Because this is how my kid also said he wants to become an emancipated minor. I'm like, where? You know, obviously wow. drama runs in the family.
Wow.
He's literally a year and a half out from being 18. Like, you got a year and a half to go. Like, just
slow your roll.
That's like the version of leaving with like a bag and a stick and then being back for dinner. I'm hungry.
Yes, it is. I want to be an emancipated minor. He wants total autonomy. He doesn't want to be told what to do. I taught him well.
What kind of job does he have?
He works at a grocery store. He's a bagger.
Oh, okay. I worked at the Palace Movie Theater.
You
the
did?
Concession thing. Yeah. I used to, matinees are the greatest. Like, there'd be a kid come up and just, like, drop 1,000 pennies and go, what can I get for that? How big is the large Coke? Okay. All right.
Anyway. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
They're all just right. staring at you, like, right. mouth agape, eyes blinking.
We all just think she's crazy.
All right.
I wore lederhosen for my job at 16.
I gained a lot of weight eating butter.
What?
I wore lederhosen.
We need to explore this. What?
I worked at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, Virginia in the German section of the park.
Yeah.
And so I had to wear polyester lederhosen.
And did that impact you in any way?
Oh, absolutely.
Did it help define who you are today?
You're
like, yes, this feels so true and good to me.
I haven't worn lederhosen since, so.
So, this was very wrong.
Yeah, yes.
I had to wear a polyester kimono when I was a cocktail waitress. And then until I ate too many goldfish crackers from the bar and I had to, I was too big for my, because I needed my life. Right, yes, yes, my kimono.
Kimonos are quite tight.
Huh?
Kimonos can be quite tight in the bust area.
Yes.
Particularly when you're eating your weight in goldfish crackers every
night. You're tiny.
I looked even more like an Armenian dude then. So I didn't look the same as you did in my pink satin hot pants.
I was in sixth grade.
Pink satin hot pants.
I think I got them for a costume, for like a Halloween outfit. I was like a roller derby
hot
queen.
Hot pink and yellow don't go together.
It was the 70s. Okay.
I mean, what can you do?
You can nothing. There's nothing you can do.
No.
Okay. All right, so
what other flecky quote are you going to throw at me? I'm scared.
I don't want to delve into the painful things, but this is fascinating to me, this show that you're doing. What is it? It's a show you're hosting, but delves into evil. And you talk about your own personal experience, which was really upsetting. You survived an attack. I love this. They said, she survives attack after attack as a member of the Scooby Gang. This vampire slayer,
really?
But that you've experienced it in real life. So what happened? You had something. This is I Survived Evil on Discovery?
It's called Surviving Evil. And it was on Investigation Discovery Channel. It's no longer. but it was probably one of the things that I've done and I'm most proud of. It ended up being one of the most, I don't know how to explain it, cathartic, sure, but... it's about finding your calling and purpose, I felt. Right. And there's nothing better for the spirit than that, right? But speaking with people that had survived things far worse than what I had experienced, which was I was on the San Diego beach, Torrey Pines State Beach, which you
right
know
there.
Well. And I was attacked by a San Diego police officer who was attacking women on the regular while they were with their partners, which is...
He was a rapist.
He was a rapist.
And a police officer. Okay.
And he wasn't getting caught because he was in those meetings, which were, they were setting up sting operations to try to catch the guy, and they couldn't catch the guy because he was in the room. And so he would go in different locations that he knew the sting operations would be in. So it was quite crazy. And he also, I think the most heinous act of all was just he targeted young girls when they were with their little brother.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty awful, like 10 and 12, asking her if she was a virgin, if she liked it.
Yeah.
So that was pretty nasty and pretty dark, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think when I got to do this show, it was at a brilliant time where enough time had passed. I'd, you know, obviously been through a lot of therapy around it. And I got to speak to other survivors and talking about those aha moments when you're in the middle of a crisis of when you decide you're going to win or you're going to bring them to justice or you're going to get through it. Or like that was probably the most compelling thing for me, is like when that human spirit prevails.
Yeah. So you were with two male friends.
I was.
He had a gun. So both your friends were shot and survived.
Correct.
But you grabbed the police issue flashlight that he had and that led to his conviction.
He had handed it to me because I had said I couldn't do it because he didn't. In the other cases, to be fair, he used duct tape to bind the hands of the males. So there's really no getting out of duct tape, right? So in my case, he didn't have, I don't know if it, what happened there. I don't recall in the case why it must have been an impromptu decision to do it, but he had been stalking me.
Oh, God.
And he had been trying to break into my apartment, it was said, but it was never brought up in the courts. But I found out later from the district attorney, who took a liking to me and who I'm still in touch with today.
Wow.
And he had used the belts from their pants.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't that hard to just go, I can't do it or whatever. And then he's like, fine, I'll do it. And he hands me his police issued thing that had his, the flashlight had his engraving, his name. It was police issued. So it had an engraving covered on it. And so I had held on to that the entire time, which you don't, it's just what you did.
Right.
I guess. I don't know what I did in the moment.
Wow. So,
it tied him to the crime, which then
helped
to his
and so
conviction.
He was convicted. I mean, wow, good for you. So you, and now I know that you said in this piece, I don't know, did you ever, you were going to invite him on to, you wanted to interview him?
I really did.
Yeah.
And he declined.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to, he wanted to move past it and he's changed and he didn't really want to go there.
In this article on that charisma, though, this really, because I think it is such a, well, I have to say, with what we're going through right now as a nation, this is so, you just said, what happens in a life that person can get to a place where it's a good idea to become a serial rapist? I mean, I have a child, so how does a kid go from normal to not? She said that this guy, the Hubbard, grew up with an alcoholic father, but it seemed like his life was back on track. He was on top of this class in the police academy. He was married with a baby on the way. From an anthropological point of view, I'm curious what happened. I mean, that really is a fascinating idea for a show, is what is the nature of evil and how
does it click? When does it happen?
Yeah.
And I mean, still to this day, that's how I feel. Like, that's why I wanted to speak with him. I'm just like, what happened? Not to be like, you hurt me, whatever. I like, truly,
right,
and this is how I feel about politics today.
Yeah,
I truly want to understand. Like, I really want to understand how people tick, what happened, what was the crisis point? You know, like the boiling point, if you will.
And that's an interesting. I hate to say it, but wait, do you think? I mean, do you think Donald Trump is evil? Because I do. I mean, I really, and I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. People have called him sociopath. Narcissistic personality disorder.
I think when
he's obviously
you say
cruel.
Something like this,
yeah,
I could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody dead and get away with it. That is. I don't think that is normal. I think that is about as close to you can call a president evil as possible. Like I don't understand that mentality at all. I don't understand why anybody would brag about that. I don't know why anybody would even say that out loud. Well, you may think it, but you just don't say stuff like that.
Right. I mean, I know psychologists have talked about him as a duty to warn and all that stuff, but that is interesting, isn't it? When you think of this, here he comes from all this privilege. Like, what made him so cruel? Like, why is he so cruel?
I would love, you know, to have an answer to that. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think maybe sometimes having too much privilege can and you have zero consequences and you have everything handed to you and you're not earning anything. Yeah. There are no boundaries ever set. There's just, you know, it's self-will run riot.
Yeah. We've just never as a country been exposed to this constant meanness and cruelty and chaos. And I think it's just, you know,
and I feel like for people that are Dems, you know, or not, I don't even want to call myself a liberal or a Dem because I just feel like it's too simple to discredit everything I say because of that. I really am just a person that truly just wants accountability. I want a person to obey the law of the land, of common decent. That's why we have police, to keep people, you know, so there isn't chaos.
Right.
And it just seems like he's such an agitator for chaos.
He's a chaos agent.
Yeah, he is. That's so well said. I love your passion and frustration. I'm just a person and wants people to obey the law.
I'm just like, fantastic. I just, it really is. I'm like, I feel like this should have not been partisan a long time ago.
No, you're just like, how is this? I don't understand it. I don't understand. And I, that's the, my biggest objection between the Republicans and the Dems, that it is really about each other yelling at each other because there's an agenda and we don't want him. It's like, I don't want Trump in office because he's not an official. He doesn't represent me. He doesn't represent the values of most working people.
Babies in cages.
But there's no justifying that. But I think that there is a need to condone or justify his choice and his behavior just because he's of their party.
Yeah.
But people forget he was best friends with the Clintons. He was always a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. I know.
He wanted to win.
I know.
Yes. So he could use his power to help himself.
Yes, and hurt
to make
other
himself
people.
Richer. Yeah.
And to own the libs, I guess, is the only, it's the only point. We say it's the only reason. It's like, why do you cut food stamps for 700,000 people?
To own the libs.
Just to be a dick. Yeah. So the liberals will go, oh my God.
Because I can.
Right.
And distract from what's really going on.
Yep.
Tell us about the Opposite Sex Show. It's your podcast. It sounds fantastic. You met Christian, is his name, on a dating app. You're friends, and so you talk about
things that are opposite.
Yeah. Dogs and cats, men and women.
Yes.
New York and LA.
I've enjoyed it. I think we're winding down. The end of the year, I think it's going to be the end for us. It's not going to go further at this point. I just feel that we're at a place that I don't know how to explain it. We're going to move on.
Yeah.
I think I want to continue doing podcasting. I want to continue this kind of dialogue, mm-hmm. but I think that the things that I'm passionate about are really not things that he's as passionate about.
Yeah.
And I think that we're kind of struggling on what to talk about.
Right.
And I don't want to be reined in on that. And I don't think that he wants to feel like he can't talk, you know, I welcome anything he wants to talk about, but I just feel like I want to be in this conversation full throttle, and because it's so encompassing to me, and I think all of you, obviously, you're sitting here with microphones and you're passionate about what's happening in the world.
Have you always been passionate about politics? Or
2016 changed my life.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I voted for Kerry.
How can anyone not be political? We're in this fucking crisis.
No, I just think that when he did not, and this is typical to his personality, when he did not back down as a candidate after being caught on tape saying, you know, they'll let you do anything, just grab him by the, punani.
Yeah.
Pussy. Fuck, okay. I hate it that he said that. I hate it. No, say it. I mean, pussy is not a...
I'm sorry.
But I hate... It just...
I know.
He bugs me.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the fact that he didn't back down, like most people, it would be such a disgrace to be caught. They would just go, bye. Or, you know, he's the type of president where he would send a dick pic to somebody. Mm-hmm. He would get caught and he'd be like, so what? And everybody would be like, yeah, so what? And it's like, what happened to the code of reason and decency?
And then I'll say it's because, you know, he said that later that that tape wasn't real of him saying that. Then he would go like, no. And you're like, nobody has a tiny fucking burnt Cheeto like that. It's yours. Like, right? He would just go, no, it's not me.
This is the only silver lining, is that it really has challenged me and made me want to be more engaged.
Yep. Yep. Well, you are come engage with us anytime.
Yes,
I'm engaged.
So fantastic. Yeah. So fantastic. And I feel like I did a minimal amount of me tooing for me, Travis, for how gorgeous she is.
Pretty good behavior.
All right. Charisma Carpenter.
Good behavior.
How can we follow you on Twitter? And
you can find me on Twitter at AllCharisma. And on Instagram, you can find me at Charazma, K-A-R-A-Z-M-A, a nickname.
Nice.
And that's about it.
Follow her. Worship her like we do. Go watch everything she does.
She is awesome.
Come back anytime.
Guys.
Yeah.
Do we see you anywhere? Do you have any shows or anything?
Right now, no. Okay. But stay tuned.
Okay.
She's totally, you guys, not a mean bitchy cheerleader. She is awesome and super nice. Okay.
Yes.
Charisma Carpenter.
Yay!
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Let's face it. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, listeners to the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/begin. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.